You got me there? There we are. I'll say it out loud. Thank you, Darren. I love you, buddy. Thank you for leading us in worship. Thank you for not performing, but being real. I appreciate that. I really, really, really do. All righty. If you're with me, say amen.
Amen.
If you're ready to jump into week five as we look at the scientist, as we look at the investigator, as we look at the researcher, I come before you and confess to you, I am not him or her or they or you, whatever the pronouns are. I am not this person. So I found it hilarious that here I was researching the researcher. Here I am, the non-researcher, researching the researcher. So if you are a five, I apologize in advance and confess and admit to you, you can do a far better job at this than I. And I encourage you to go onto Amazon and purchase an Enneagram book, which you've already purchased if you're a five, and you've already read several of them, and you have some critiques for those of us who have already taught through the first 4 weeks. What's really funny is that fives, when they come to the Enneagram, they will absolutely reject the Enneagram because they don't want it to expose who they are. Or they will jump into it wholeheartedly because they really want to learn what in the world this is. So it's very interesting that for all the personalities, we have a lot of different responses of what we do and how we move through these different things. And so what I want to do is before we jump into five, I want to go backwards and I want to review. I want to review and I want to make sure that I keep bringing along the positives along with the negatives. Okay, let me help you out. Some key language that we need to have is mature versus immature, healthy versus unhealthy. And there are going to be moments in time in your day when you are fully mature and you're nailing it, and then 3:15 hits. And you go immature and you're not nailing it. We all just have moments where we ebb and flow. So it's not this position of it's always there and you're always on. It's just a moment of realizing, why am I responding the way that I'm responding? Why am I interacting the way that I'm interacting? Why do I feel so hurt in this moment? And a lot of people don't get there. A lot of people don't sit and realize, why do I feel so hurt? Instead, we attack other people and we go after them so we don't have to deal with our own issues because we don't want to sit there. So let me walk through a couple things just to remind you on the nine holy virtues that we've already covered and we've already looked at. When we talked about the one, and the one really deals with perfectionism, the one needs to learn about serenity. The one needs to learn about peace. Now, you may not be a one or identify as a one or feel that you have a fraction of a one in you, but is there anybody in here who doesn't need peace? Okay, let me ask the question a different way. Is there anyone in this room that was praying for peace this week besides me? Amen? Anybody else? Okay. The word calm, isn't it beautiful? Has anybody seen it lately? Calm. The one desperately needs calm. The one desperately needs to learn from Jesus how to sleep on a pillow in the middle of a storm on the Sea of Galilee when the fishermen think they're all going to die. And Jesus is asleep on the pillow. We need that, don't we? Amen. If you live in Chicago, you need to understand how to sleep on a pillow when it's chaotic outside. Humility to the person who serves. Why do you serve? That you would serve just because you have been loved, because Christ has loved you, you would be loved. And that's just what it is. That you wouldn't give a gift to someone and then stand there like, no, you just give the gift because you give the gift. The response of the individual has nothing to do with it because Christ gave you the best gift you've ever received. And so in humility, you wouldn't think that you're important, that you should be treated a certain way, that you have to be recognized. You would allow humility to grow and develop inside of you to think about it, that Christ, who was king, left heaven, came down to earth as a baby. We'll just stop there. Humility. We'll talk about more of it in December. Come back. Truthfulness. To the achiever, truthfulness. Why are you doing this? Why is it that this is what you're trying to do? How are you doing it? Are you stepping on other people to win? Are you grabbing people by the throat and dominating them so that you can feel good about yourself? You have to be careful as an achiever. We need achievers to achieve. We need helpers to help. We need perfectionists to have details and understanding of how things need to be done exactly and make things look beautiful. We need all of these things in health and maturity. Amen? Amen. And we need to have language when we talk to our spouses and our children, our pastors and our friends, when they're acting out in immaturity, when they're acting out a little bit unhealthy, we can ask them, hey, why are you stepping on other people to get what you're trying to get? 1 Corinthians chapter 13 says love. Love is the answer. Love is something that's not a gonging cymbal, a clanging. In other words, if I don't have love in my words, tell you what, go ahead and turn that off. I'll grab the handheld. Here we go. All right. If you don't have love and you don't have the ability to communicate what it is you're trying to say and the people can't receive it, then your words are wasted. And so what we've got to communicate all the way through this is love. And last week we talked about contentment. We talked about contentment because last week it was about envy. It was about, I don't have enough. I don't have these things. Where are these things at? And we've all felt that, right? There's a term in America. It's called keeping up with the Joneses, keeping up with your next door neighbors. It's called maxing out your credit cards. It's called destroying your future, right? The American dream. And inside of Real Church, we're trying to communicate to you, that's not the direction. That's not what we're supposed to do. And there's this tension. Let's be really real. There's this tension. You guys have this tension between everything else that's around you, and then you show up on Sunday, and I tell you something crazy. I pull a Jesus move. You've heard it said, but I tell you it's this. And then you've got to wrestle with everything else that you're dealing with. You've got to wrestle with what your boss is telling you. You've got to wrestle with what media tells you. You've got to wrestle with what your parents trained you on. You've got to wrestle with what the church in the 1980s taught you. You've got to wrestle. And it's exhausting, isn't it? So let's continue wrestling. Let's add another one onto this one. Let's add in Enneagram 5. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, would you please bless us with understanding the holy virtue of detachment? Would you, God, please bless us with serenity, with humility, with truthfulness, and with contentment? And Lord, would you teach us about not being connected to stuff and things for us to find our identity in you? It's in your precious name, God, we pray. Amen. I confess to you, I am not a five. I am not an investigator. I am not a scientist. I am not a researcher. In college, I would go into the library and spend as little time in there as I could. Any other amens? Any other amens? Any other amens? Did anybody else in college not open your textbooks? Any other amens? Leah and Shay, knock it off. Okay, what I want to share with you guys is I didn't open my textbook. When I went into the library, I found three books on the subject, ran to the photocopier as fast as I could, copied a dumb chapter, and that was in my paper. Anybody else like that? Now, if you're sort of a five, you're upset at me right now. You're like, the library is the most amazing building on the campus. You don't even understand they have wings named after people who have sacrificed their entire lives so that all those books could be in there and the collection could be available to all. Like, I don't care. But that's not saying that it's not important. What I'm telling you is I'm not that. But for a researcher would go in to do a paper and they wouldn't leave the library. The researcher is the one that the librarian comes up to him and goes, do you want a job? Because you're here all the time. We know it's not Nathan. We're not hiring that guy. He couldn't do the Dewey Decimal System if his life depended on it. We're just letting him go. But what I want you guys to think about is investigators, researchers, scientists, these people are super important. These people are incredibly important. Let me help you out. If you need brain surgery, you don't want me. You do not want me. Even Holly standing next to me could not keep me on track. I'd be like, yeah, I think we did that. Holly's like, no, you didn't. I'm like, I think we did. And she's like, no, you didn't. Here's the video. I'd be like, oh, I thought I did. She's like, yeah, you shouldn't be in here. Please leave. What I want you guys to understand is researchers and scientists are brilliant people. These are the people who are figuring out how to fight COVID. These are the people who are figuring out how to kill cancer. These are the people who are in Antarctica in a tiny little building 12 feet above the ice shelf living in a tiny community for 18 months. That ain't me. They would kick me out of that group. I would be like, are we partying tonight? And they'd be like, Brown, go
go to your cubicle. These people are incredibly important when healthy. When healthy. When these people are unhealthy, they get into a place where they gather massive amounts of information and they covet it and they don't share their information. These individuals, if they move into unhealth, will pull away from everybody else and they will pull away from society and they will move into their own place and their own position. And they will hide themselves from the world with all of their information. These are people who can get stuck in books and stay in them the entire time. Now, many of us have the ability to research, but what I want you to know is a strong five will live most of their life in their head. A strong five will have worlds and imaginations and belief systems and things that are going on in their head. And if you're a parent of a five and you send a five to their room, they don't care. You want to discipline a five? Tell them to sit with you at the table and eat. No, you do not get your own alone time. You want to discipline a five? Take away their computer. Take away their encyclopedias. Take away the internet. What happens is with these people, their desperate, desperate need to know is important to them. And they value highly knowing, and they're constantly on the search for knowing. One of the key things for an investigator is they want to see through you. They want to understand you. They want to figure you out and understand why you do what you do and categorize you as fast as they possibly can. For a five, they need to perceive the world around them. And something that's very important with the five, when you hear a five statement, when you're hanging out with a five or somebody who has a little bit of five in them, they will say the phrase, "I know." But it'll be very confident and it will be very insulted that you didn't understand that they knew. "I know." But what's interesting about the five is their biggest problem is greed. It's greed. What are they greedy about? They're greedy about knowledge and information. An unhealthy five won't share the information and knowledge that they know. A healthy five will be an amazing professor. A healthy five will be an amazing teacher. A healthy five is somebody who says, "I found the way to cure cancer. Everybody needs to know." An unhealthy five would go, "I know how to do it, but I'm not telling anybody." And would feel comfortable knowing that they know, but they're not sharing. What's interesting is, to dive into this a little bit, is that Christians in a lot of ways are unhealthy fives. They know the truth of the gospel. Someone say, "Start preaching, pastor. Here it comes." Oh, no, here it comes. They know the truth of the gospel. They know what saves people's lives. They know how to get people into eternity, but they hold the information and they don't tell anybody. They don't tell anybody that this seems really important, but if we don't get this right, this doesn't matter. You want your children to love you, but if you don't know the love of Jesus, your children aren't going to love you in the way that you want to know. You want your spouse to be tender to you. You want romance in your life, but if you don't know the romance from the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords who sings over you, as we have learned before, then you can't comprehend the love that is in this world. Let me tell you about Jesus. But a lot of Christians hold and hoard the truth because they don't want to offend people. But then there are other churches who don't want to tell the truth because they don't want their church to get bigger. Us Four and No More. Have you seen those churches? I have. I don't want to be that church. That's not who God called me to be. That's not who God called you to be. So what does a five do to get to the point of understanding detachment? Let me help you out. Another word for detachment, generosity. Do you feel like we've preached a sermon series on generosity? Yes. In other words, for a five to move to a beautiful, healthy place, they need to be generous with their knowledge. But let me help you out. Loving as they share it. It's not okay to be condescending to someone as you're sharing the knowledge and information. You need to have love with what you're communicating. But a lot of times, and let me help you guys out, I think Chicago has a lot of five. Have you guys dealt with Chicago not wanting to give information out? Have you tried to go to a public place, like some office that's supposed to help you out, and they're like, I'm unhelpful? Like, just like literally, like, "You are paid to help me." And they're like, "No, I'm not." And you're like, "Oh my goodness, what is happening here?" Chicago holds on to information tightly because information is power. How do you get your kids signed up for a class in the summer so that they can be in Park Rec? Don't tell somebody else because there are only so many spaces. Keep it quiet. Was that two real moms? Yeah. Yeah. Moms are all gathered together at Starbucks at 4 a.m. just pressing refresh, 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 refresh. And then one yells, I'm in! And then everybody's like, get it, get it, get it. And then other people in Starbucks are, you're in! They're like, shut up! Like, you get what I'm trying to say? Like, we hide the information we have. So how do we allow the Spirit of God to produce detachment in us? How do we allow the Spirit of God to produce detachment in us? One of the things I want to let you guys know is that it's important for a five to understand if you want to grow, you want to hang out with an eight. Because an eight will frustrate you, because an eight will keep telling you, why are you keeping that to yourself? Share it, share it, share it, share it. An eight will be tough enough on you that they will tell you, you got to tell the world this information. You can't hold it back. People got to know. And the five will hate the eight because the five doesn't want people to know. Because the five feels like this is my precious. I have control over it. I feel like I have power in it. So let's jump into a couple Bible verses. If you want to, you can go into one of my brother's sermons. You guys, he preached a couple weeks ago for me in 2008. He did a teaching on this, and he taught on, I'm blanking on his name. It'll come back to me in a second. I literally looked at it, and it's all Zacchaeus in my notes, and I'm like, that ain't the name. Okay, we'll get to it in a moment. I'm going to jump into Zacchaeus. That's where I'm going to go. Nicodemus is the other one. Okay, so if you want to hear a five being taught about Nicodemus, phenomenal sermon. Jump over. You can do that. It's all on the YouTubes. By the way, that would have really helped me in college if YouTube was around, because then I really wouldn't have to read the textbook. I could have watched a seven-minute video. So here we go. Let's jump in Luke 19, 1 through 10. And I want you to do is I know many of you guys have heard the story of Zacchaeus many times. You guys know that Zacchaeus was a wee? Yeah, and little man was he. Just erase that, okay? What I want you guys to know is that Zacchaeus is a five. Zacchaeus is an observer. Zacchaeus is a scientist. Zacchaeus is a hoarder of information. You want to frustrate a five? Invade their life. You want to tick a five off? Walk into their office without permission. You really want to tick a five off? Show up at their house unannounced. Fives do not do well with that information. Ask a five in a meeting, how do you feel? A five will be upset with you because a five is a thinker. A five is a processor. A five wants to have their information together and ready to answer that they've prepared for weeks, and they don't like to deviate from it. And when you ask them to deviate from it, they get angry. Watch how Jesus jumps into Zacchaeus' life and causes Zacchaeus to get, in our modern language, triggered. Here we go. Luke 19, 1 through 10. He entered Jericho, and he was passing through. And behold, this is Jesus entering Jericho, there was a man named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was rich. So he wasn't just a regular tax collector. He was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. And he was seeking to see who Jesus was. But on account of the crowd, he could not because he was small in stature. So he ran on ahead and he climbed up a sycamore tree to see him, for he was about to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up to him and said, Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today. So he hurried and came down, and he received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all grumbled, for he had gone to the guest of a man who was a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, behold, Lord, half of my goods I will give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I will restore it fourfold. And Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, since he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. You see, Zacchaeus is a researcher. He researched and found out that Jesus was coming along the way. He came around it. He figured out a process of how can I get to where I need to be so that I can get, and let's be super honest, yes, he was small, but most likely he didn't want to be around crowds. So he chose a place where he could get away from crowds and he could be away from people, disconnected, and he was up in a tree. I know when I was younger, they taught me about Zacchaeus' passion was to see people, and so he went to this great length. And then when I really look at it emotionally, he didn't want to be by people. Being in crowds was not comfortable for Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus wouldn't be loved in the crowd. He was the chief tax collector. He would not have been treated well. And Zacchaeus is up in the tree, and Jesus stops and looks at him and says to him, I'm coming to your house. Okay, really quickly, please don't get too uncomfortable. But how clean is your house right now? How clean is your home? Is it ready to receive Jesus? Right? I can see Emily looking right now at Aubrey. You got to go, girl. You've got 15 minutes. I'm going to stall Jesus as long as I possibly can. You got to clean that, Aubrey. You got to do it. Just throw everything that Ellis has in a garbage bag and toss it over the neighbor's fence. Like, we can do this. Right? How clean is your house right now to have Jesus show up? Now, some of you guys are hospitality people. You love having people over. You're like, that's the greatest thing ever. We're always ready. Like, we can do this. This personality, And Jesus says, I'm coming to your house. So he hurried down and he received him joyfully. That's a huge move. And then not only that, Jesus enters into Zacchaeus' life, talks with him, and Zacchaeus returns in detachment. Do you know how hard it is for rich people to give away their stuff? Let me say that again. Do you know how hard it is for rich people to give away their stuff? It is insanely hard for rich people to give away their stuff because their stuff is their identity. It is who they are. I remember Shay and I, years ago, we were in Southern California, and we went to this place called Cars and Coffee. And at Cars and Coffee, it was at the Taco Bell headquarters in Tustin in Southern California, and all these people who own these insane cars would show up on a Saturday morning and show them. And we were walking around, and I was walking with Shay, and Shay was little and grubby and dirty like normal, and he was just, you know, like a kid, you know, just snot everywhere and just whatever. And we walked over, and Shay saw this car. Shay's looking at a DB9. Now, if you don't know what a DB9 is, it's just James Bond's car. And Shay just freezes. And he's staring at it. And this man comes over and looks at Shay and goes, you like the car? And Shay's like, no words. And the owner goes, would you like to get in? And I'm like, no, no, no. Your car costs more. If I sold my wife, I sold me, I sold my home, I sold Leah, and I sold 7 of my friends. I can't afford your car. And I was like, please don't put my kid in your car. And he goes, it's just a car. And I'm like, you're an idiot, right? But you're apparently a rich idiot, so it's really hard to disagree with you. So Shay jumps over, gets in the car. He's standing on these leather seats. He's moving all this stuff, and he's wiping his nose, and he's touching all these dials. And the owner of the car is like, this is cool. What are you doing? And then Shay's like, what's the back seat light? He's like, I don't know. Jump back there. Shay jumps on the middle console, jumps into the back seat of the car, and I am like, Lord Jesus, come. Lord Jesus, come. I can't. Hey, babe, remember how we were going to put braces on the kids? No. No Christmas. Yeah, we're in slavery now. We've sold ourselves. It's just terrible. Like, this is like a terrible thing to do. Like, we can't afford this. And this guy is having a blast with Shay. Here's a person showing detachment. Having fun, having a blast, just doing what he's doing. And then he goes, do you want to start the car? And I'm like, okay, I need to be done saying no, because every single time I say no, it doesn't matter. Have you done that with God? Where God goes, hey, should we start the car? And you're like, no. And he's like, boom, right? God's like, I'm fine. And so Shay's running around in his car, and then finally he gets out of the car. And he's like, Dad, that's the coolest car ever. How come your car sucks? Transition. How can we allow the Spirit of God to produce detachment? How can we allow the Spirit of God to produce generosity? Point number one for fives, for you and for me, observe God. observe God. We're observing everything else. We're observing the wrong things. We're observing how to do things wrong, and we're putting those things into our lives. Let's observe God. Let me help you guys out. When Jesus says, hey, look at the birds, and it's in Scripture, which it is, you should probably do what? Look at the birds. I mean, if you're going to be a great Christian, you're a bird watcher. But if you're not a great Christian, you're not a good bird watcher. By the way, put that in your pocket if you ever have to deal with a Bible-thumping Christian who just thinks they're so amazing. Ask him, so are you a bird watcher? They're like, no, why would I do that? Then you don't know Scripture. Number one, observe God. Psalms 19:1. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims his handiwork. You see, fives think a lot. Fives are detached from their hearts. Fives are up in their brains constantly, and fives have to look at the world and see what God is doing. In fact, a lot of fives are atheists. This would be super real. And when you try to talk to a five about, I just love God because he's so sweet and he's so generous and he's so caring and he's so, fives are like, that's data that's not important to me. What they need to do is see the heavens that declare God's glory and the sky above proclaims his handiwork. You and I, to move to detachment, we need to observe God. Jesus dumped it all to come down and hang out with us. Jesus didn't have a home. Jesus didn't have, and look what he did. Jesus shows generosity and detachment, doesn't he? Number two, treasure wisdom. One, observe God. Two, treasure wisdom. You and I can treasure wisdom. If you know a five, tell them to read Proverbs. Fives will love Proverbs. Fives will read Proverbs again and again and again and again, and they're like, this is brilliant. Read Proverbs, Proverbs 2. I'll just read a couple verses to you. My son, if you receive my words and treasure up my commandments to you, making your ear attentive to wisdom and inclining your heart to understanding, yes, if you call out for insight and raise your voice for understanding, if you seek it like silver and search for it as hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Ooh, fives, you can find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He has a shield to those who walk in integrity, guarding the path of justice and watching over the way of his saints. Then you will understand righteousness and justice and equity, every good path. For wisdom will come into your heart and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Understanding will guard you, delivering you from the way of evil, from men of perverted speech. Jumping to 20. So you will walk in the way of the good and keep the paths of the righteous, for the upright will inhabit the land, and those with integrity will remain in it. But the wicked will be cut off from the land, and the treacherous will be rooted out of it. Don't we need wise people around us? We need wisdom around us. Amen. We need wise people in our mayor's office. We need wise people in our alderman places. We need wise people as our bosses, as our pastors, as our shepherds, as our leaders, as our doctors, as our lawyers, as our friends and our neighbors. We need wisdom around us. Amen? When was the last time you prayed for your neighbors to the left, to the right, to the north, to the south, and you asked God to bless them with wisdom? Bless your neighbors with wisdom. They won't plant that dumb tree that's going to mess with your backyard. Like, come on, man. You can bless them with wisdom. Point number one, observe God. How can we allow the Spirit of God to produce detachment? Observe God. Stop observing the things of this world, the riches, the money, the wealth, the power. Observe God. Treasure wisdom. Look for wisdom. Invest in what's important. Three, share your life. For a five, sharing is difficult. Sharing is frustrating. If you're married to a five and you want to hear your five's heart and you want them to share their heart, fives are going to struggle sharing their emotions. Fives are going to struggle sharing their thoughts. If you're married to a five, fives are going to struggle sharing their body, just physical proximity. Just being next to a five, hugging a five can be difficult for them. And so with fives, you need to ask, can I hug you? And when they go no, you need to respect it. But if you're married to a five, you need to say, hey, we got to get to a place where I can hug you. Because that's part of marriage. Like, we got to work on this. So what do we got to do? Okay? Fives need to share their time. They need to share their emotions. They need to share their space. They need to share their body. They need to share their thoughts. Fives need to choose to share. And this is huge vulnerability. For the one, the vulnerability was admitting that I'm not perfect and I'm an absolute failure. For the two, it's admitting that I wanted attention and that's why I served you. Be nice to me. Do you guys get it? For the five, it's I don't want to be by you. I want to be by myself and do what I'm doing. And with them, you got to love them. You got to love them through the process. Fives make amazing airline pilots. Fives make amazing decision makers. Fives have massive amounts of information. They've researched it, and they're ready, and they know what to do. And they're in their head. They're disconnected from their emotions, so they can make great decisions fast. Generals in the United States Army are great fives. Share your life. For a five, share your time. Leave your office. Get out of your books. Go spend some wasted time with Darren and me. Just hang out with us. You will not learn a single good thing from Darren and I. You just won't. But what you will do is you will become more like Christ. And you will allow the virtue of sharing your time, your physical presence, your voice, your laughter with others. Share your life. The fourth point. Live by faith in what you do not understand. This is super hard for a five. A lot of fives are going to miss Jesus. Nicodemus misses Jesus when you go look at that story between Jesus and Nicodemus. There's a conversation I've heard for a long time. People will miss heaven by 18 inches, the distance from their head to their heart. They can't connect to their heart. Fives struggle connecting to their heart. And so what fives have to do is they have to trust in the unseen. And this is hard for fives. This is why they're atheists. Fives come in. Here we go. 2 Peter 1:3-9. I'm not going to put the verse up till I get to verse 8, but go ahead and put it up, and I'm going to read as I catch up to it, and you guys can already see it. It says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ according to his great mercy. He has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power has been guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. Ready to be revealed. Fives will struggle. It's not revealed yet. In this you rejoice, though for now, for a little while, it is, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold, that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Peter writes the scientific method produces an emotional response. That's going to throw fives off. And then eight, though you have not seen him, do you guys see the struggle for a five? Though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Now, can we all just agree that right there and then, right there in this verse, we all feel a little five? That fiveness? How do I really believe God is real? Is heaven really real? Is eternity really real? Did God really honestly say what he said? And is it true? We all have that investigator in us. We all have it. Now, a five has it to greater abilities and greater sides. And that's why I appreciate what Chelsea has been teaching, is try not to identify yourself as one, because you have many of these elements. And it's beautiful that you have them. So when your five starts to come out, what do you need to do? You need to sit back and you need to observe God. You need to treasure wisdom. You need to share your life. And you need to live by faith with what you do not understand. That even if you researched everything, you wouldn't be able to cover it all. Do you see the one in the five, the perfectionist, having to study everything? You wouldn't have it all. And a five just has to get back to, okay, I trust you, God. With the story of Nicodemus, Nicodemus comes in, a brilliant man, and Nicodemus at the end is the one who's with Joseph burying Jesus' body. Nicodemus uses his own money to make sure that Jesus is buried correctly like a king. It costs Nicodemus massive amounts of money. There was a change in Nicodemus. There was a change in his heart. And just like Zacchaeus, when we go back to this verse, there's a change in Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus goes, what do you need me to share, Lord? Share my home? Let's do it. Share my money? Let's do it. If I've wronged people, I'm fourfold, we're going to fix this. Guess what? He had wronged people. So he didn't just put out a statement of, hey, if I did, and knowing he didn't, he did, and he changed it. So how can we move a path toward virtue? What does that look like? What does it look like for us to move forward in detachment, to move forward in generosity, to move forward with our time and our life and our love? I love it when sometimes I talk to people, they're like, why would you be a pastor in Chicago? And I'm like, because it's not about me. Why would you be there? Because it's not about me. If it's about me, I'm picking somewhere else. And Danielle's not going with me because she doesn't like where I picked. Yeah, you guys are looking at me. It's Orlando, Florida. She's afraid of alligators. But I like the warmth. So I will be single in Orlando, Florida. It'll be sad. No, I'm not going. I'm staying in the snow with Danielle. So how do we find a path forward? Do we throw it up? Put down having it all. Put down having it all. Greed. Greed. Put down having it all. What is it right now that you've lied to yourself, that you've said, if I just have this, I'll be happy? If I just get this promotion, I'll be happy. I know the burdens. If we just get this minivan, life will be great. I know that's not true. The burdens are fighting the minivan. The Lord is working on them. What is it that you're saying? If my spouse is just nice to me, if I just could go out for dinner at a romantic restaurant, I would be happy. If I could just get into this pair of jeans, I would be happy. What are you lying to yourself about? Consumerism, 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 right? Put down having it all. Pick up sharing what you have. I love a great conversation as two wonderful disciples are going to the temple, and a hurting man says, do you guys have money? And they say to the hurting man, silver and gold, we don't have, but what we have, I'll give you. A lot of the problems and the pain that your friends and your family are going through, you don't have to solve. But what do you have? What do you have? You have the love of God. Amen? What do you have? You have a 24-hour helpline that's available to you that you can stop and you can pray to your Heavenly Father and you can ask. You've got a contact. You got a person. You got a guy that can help you out. What do you have? A lot of times as a pastor, people come to me and they want me to solve something I don't have the solution for. I don't have that fix. Pastor, fix my finances. Pastor, fix my parents. Pastor, fix my kids. Pastor, fix me. I can't do any of those things. But what I can do is I can offer you to God Almighty. Do you want to be offered to God? So follow this. Here's our move towards the virtue of detachment. Offer yourself to God. Don't be greedy with you. Lord, here I am. Your will be done. Whatever it is that you want to accomplish, let's do it. Amen? All right. Super down. I'll try to bring you guys up. Try to bring some energy back into the room. Fives are incredibly important. Fours are incredibly important. Threes are incredibly important. I've got to do some research on 13s. Some humor. All right. Thank you for the... Guys, I put up the red. It's like a comedy night. Like, it's not going well. Okay. All right. Just flew in from California. I'm tired. My arms hurt. Be better? That's fair. That's fair. That's fair. All right. I love you guys. I am so thankful that you guys are diving into this. If you feel a little bit shook, if you feel a little bit bumped into, if you feel like some things were pointed out to you, turn to the Lord and ask, what do you want me to do? Amen? Real Church, you are loved. I appreciate you. Whether you're in here in the basement, whether you're in the backyard, whether you're online, on the podcast, whatever you guys are doing, I want you to know you are loved and you're not supposed to be perfect. You're not. You're supposed to be desperate and needy for God Almighty. So if you find yourself today desperate and needy for God Almighty, well done. Well done. As we talk and we share and we go through life and we encourage each other and we love on each other, may God bless you. May His face shine upon you. Whatever hurt you're dealing with, whatever pain you're frustrated with, may God, through the power of His Holy Spirit, meet you in that place. And may He put a community around you who can walk with you in the process. Amen? All right, God bless you guys. Have an absolutely wonderful Sunday. Let's go ahead and push the chairs aside. Have fun hanging out in the backyard, talking and chatting. We'll see you guys next week, if not during the week, during small groups, Bible study, and other stuff. Love you guys. Bye. But I still couldn't see to the edge of your love for me. Yeah. And I've walked on the wildest of waters. And I've sunk to the depths of the sea. But I still couldn't fathom the depths of your love for me. Come on, sing this with me. Canyons wide. And canyons wide and oceans deep can't contain all your love for me. No matter how high or far I reach, there's no end to your love for me. Yeah, I've wrestled and I wrestle believing the valley. Just when I thought it was darkest, the sun began to rise. Come on, canyons wide and canyons wide and oceans deep can't contain all your love for me. No matter how high or far I reach, there's no end to your love for me. You better talk to me, Brother Regan Cruz. Hey!